This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Temperatures have cooled in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta thanks to some rain, but the lightning that came with those storms has ignited 10 more fires in southwest Alaska, while others got bigger. Those wildfires forced Donlin Gold to evacuate the rest of its employees from its mine site. The Smith Creek fire that is burning a mile from the Donlin Gold mine site more than doubled in size since Tuesday. It's now more than 53,000 acres and threatening 80 buildings at the mine site. Donlin Gold had already evacuated most of its 30 employees more than a week ago as a precaution, but some stayed behind to assist. With the bigger fire closing in, the company relocated the rest of its workers. Donlin had been evaluating the site for its dam safety certification. Donlin plans to build 7 dams and needs the certification before mining. Company spokesperson Christina Woolston says it's too soon to say if the wildfires will push back Donlin's timeline for certification. That usually takes 2 years to complete. Wildfires have scorched more than 2 million acres in Alaska this season. Alaska climatologist Rick Toman says that this fire season could be one of the biggest since 2004, barring a significant change in the weather. And in fish news, dead chum salmon are lining the banks of one of the Yukon River's largest tributaries. Koyukuk River residents and scientists alike suspect the deaths are related to the river's warm water. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports that a team of scientists are heading to the Koyukuk today to investigate.
The reports of dead salmon started late last week. One of the most disturbing reports came from a series of Facebook videos posted by Rico DeWild.
Okay, we're in Hoosley, Alaska, Koyukuk River. Everywhere. Dead salmon all over the place out here. I'm going to cut them open.
When he does, he finds eggs inside one and sperm inside another.
That can be a catastrophe out here because there will be no returns.
He notes that there's no net marks on the fish and the birds aren't eating them.
If something is dead like this, the birds will eat their eyeball right off. So.
He suspects there are too many eyeballs for the birds to eat, and he has a theory about why the salmon died. It's too hot.
So either global warming is killing them or something is in the water.
Stephanie Quinn Davidson directs the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission. She saw these videos, and then more people began calling her. They reported dead salmon, salmon pulling in large numbers, salmon seeking slower-moving water, and salmon otherwise just acting tired, like this report from Caltech.
That person reported that their kids were able to catch chum salmon with their bare hands in the main stem of the Yukon River because the chum salmon seemed so disoriented.
Quinn Davidson says all the signs point to heat stress. The Koyukuk water has been warmer than usual, and the Yukon water temperatures have broken records. Quinn Davidson asked two people on the Koyukuk to boat around and let her know what they saw. Their report alarmed her.
Just along one cut bank and one sandbar, they counted over 100 dead chum salmon.
The more tributaries they boated down, the more dead salmon they found. And inside the salmon, they found eggs and sperm, meaning the salmon had not yet spawned. Quinn Davidson began mobilizing a team. She, along with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Yukon Fishery Manager, and a UAF fishery professor, are flying to the Koyukuk. Over 2 days, the crew will boat about 350 miles, counting salmon, sampling fish, and testing the water. But they are just three people on one stretch of river, and the magnitude of the problem is one of the questions they're trying to answer. Quinn Davidson is asking everyone along the Yukon and its tributaries for help.
The best thing that people can do when they come across a dead salmon is take pictures. Examine the salmon, look for eggs, look and see what the fat content is like, if the belly fat layer is missing. Look at the gills, note where you found the dead salmon, take a count or an estimate of how many are there, and compile all that and contact Fish and Game immediately.
KYUK will provide an update on the scientists' trip and community reports next week. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And finally, Governor Mike Dunleavy says his line item vetoes of the state budget weren't too aggressive. Dunleavy made the comments in a call with reporters Thursday.
Did I think this was going to cause a very heated discussion in the state of Alaska? I did. I think it needs to happen because Alaska needs to decide what road it's going to go down. Are we going to reduce the budget to close the gap, or are we going to take the PFD and tax ourselves, or possibly a combination of? We won't get there if I continue to try and kick the can down the road by using our savings and acting as if everything is okay.
Dunleavy also says Alaskans will want half of whatever earnings the state spends each year. He directed this message at lawmakers interested in changing the dividend formula.
But I would just caution them that going forward, the people of Alaska are going to want to feel that they are a partner, and that 50% of whatever comes out of the earnings in whatever form, they're going to want to be part of that 50%.
Lawmakers have discussed dedicating a share of the annual earnings draw to dividends. Before Dunleavy's vetoes, Senator Natasha von Imhoff's staff estimated that the state would have an $861 million gap between spending and revenue if half of the draw went to dividends. The legislature is considering a new bill to pay permanent fund dividends this year at $1,600. Supporters want to reverse most of Dunleavy's vetoes and protect the fund's future. Opponents emphasize that the bill violates the PFD formula enacted in 1982. The new bill is aimed at keeping the draw on permanent fund earnings within a limit passed last year. Kenai Majority Caucus Republican Representative Gary Knapp says lawmakers have to choose between following the dividend formula or the limit on drawing from fund earnings. And Knapp says the earnings reserve account is at risk from higher PFDs.
If you draw more than what's sustainable, you will deplete it. It doesn't make any difference if it's $100 billion or $10 billion over time. So by continuing to draw more than it will earn is unsustainable. You will deplete it at that rate in probably 3 to 4 years.
Members of the House majority have focused on public outcry against Dunleavy's vetoes. Wasilla Minority Caucus Republican Colleen Sullivan-Leonard says previous public testimony has criticized cuts to the PFD.
It was overwhelming testimony. So, you know, the people are tired of continuing to say we want the full statutory permanent fund dividend.
The full dividend would be roughly $3,000, the largest in the program's history. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for news in Yukton coming up.